morning, everyone. If you'll turn with me to today's scripture reading, it's 1 John chapter 4, verse 7 to 16. If you need a Bible, please raise your hand, and the ushers will find you and provide you with a Bible. So put those hands up if you need a Bible. Let's give you guys a few minutes to turn there. Again, it's 1 John chapter 4, verse 7 to 16. And if you're using the Bibles that we provided, it is page 1023. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God. And whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. Anyone who does not love does not know God, because God is love. And this love of God was made manifest among us, that God sent his only Son into the world so that we might live through him. In this love, not that we have loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God. If we love one another, God abides in us, and his love is perfected in us. By this, we know that we abide in him and he in us, because he has given us of his Spirit. And we have seen and testified that the Father has sent his Son to be the Savior of the world. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him and he in God. So we have come to know and to believe the love that God has for us. God is love, and whoever abides in love abides in God, and God abides in him. The word of the Lord.
Thank you, Jonathan. So we're continuing our series that we started last week, and knowing God is so important for us as followers of Christ. And oftentimes, if you remember from last week, we follow Christ and we know about him, we learn about him, we learn about the Lord God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, but we don't really know him intimately. We have struggles fellowshipping with him, spending time with him alone, and remembering him throughout the day. And so the more we look through these passages in Scripture, topically in the sense of looking at God and his characters and his qualities, then we will hopefully know more of who this Almighty God who loves us so dearly is all about. Know him personally. Because last week we learned that God comes first. He's the Almighty Creator. He is the originator of everything we know as in this reality. And then today we're going to learn how God is love, as we heard just read and is from his Word. You know, sometimes a wife may think, does my husband still love me? Or a husband may think, does my wife still love me after a while? And a child, as children, sometimes we may think that we measure how much we're loved by how much stuff we get, how much we receive, whether it be words of affirmation from our parents or clothing that they buy for us or gifts or whatever it may be, the red envelopes we receive, you know, how much is in there? You know, how much am I loved this time? Chinese New Year. That might be how we think of it. And sometimes two people will think that they're really in love with each other because they're sexually intimate. But is that real love? These things that we hear? No, not really. We all want to be loved, but our expectations of what that love that we expect to receive depends on our understanding of love. And the problem is that my understanding of love, based on my own thinking and own experience, is going to be different from your understanding of love. So a lot of times in life, we will miss each other in trying to show love. One person's termed it as we have different love languages. And so we just communicate, we miss each other. And we don't communicate well to each other the love that we are trying to show. But part of it is the love we're trying to show is skewed and perverted because we don't understand what real love is. We have our own experience of it, or we have a lack of experience of receiving love. For example, did you know about 1/3 of babies placed in the very barest of orphanages can actually die because of where they're placed? It's horrible. They die from at least 1/3 die, and then the 2/3 that remain that actually survive half of those, which is much it's double the rate of the general population that of infants, will suffer from mental illness. And each month spent in an orphanage during the period of, say, from 0 to 5 years old, increases, each month increases the risk of mental health, that decreases their IQ, and increases the risk of behavioral and psychological problems. This has been a study that I'm referring to here. In fact, the failure to thrive, they call it, in human infants has been shown as a result of the lack of individualized, caring, physical touch, nurturing, affectionate parental care, whether in an orphanage or due to extreme parental neglect. It severely affects an infant or a child from 0 to 5 years old. In a sense, we could say the lack of love being shown. Babies' brains expect that they will be experiencing lots of touch. You know, like cuddling, right? We hold them, we pat them on the back, and they blah all over us. But, you know, that's what the brain of the babies crave. They want that love, that affection, that empathy, because that's, in a sense, how they learn to do likewise. So the study shows that if they lack that, it not only affects them that they don't know how to love anybody else, but they actually die, because it triggers growth in them in all ways, as from 0 to 5 years old. It severely causes them problems. This information that I'm talking about comes from a book, Born for Love, which is an exploration of how and why the brain learns to bond with others, and it's also a stirring call to protect our children from new threats in our culture and society that limit their capacity of children to love. Anything that keeps us from face-to-face contact, it's talking. It's an interesting read. From birth, when babies' fingers, you know, instinctively you put your finger there and they grip it, you know, that's so cool. You know, that's an indication of how much they just crave that touch, that interaction as an infant. Their bodies and brains seek an intimate connection, a bond made by empathy. And empathy meaning this ability to love and to receive love. This is what these little people are craving, and it's like the catalyst for their growth, the beginning of their lives. And in truth, we are able to love because we received love. And that's the truth of this study that they see, starting from the beginning of our lives. For example, why then do some women who have been in a very abusive relationship with a man, when that relationship they break out of, does the study show that often, at least a very good percentage of those women tend to go and find another man who is abusive as well and end up with another abusive relationship? Why is that? Well, part of it is because their understanding of love is in an abusive context. So unknowingly, they just seek out a man who is abusive because that's all they know, is abusiveness. Not that they like it, they hate it. But they're, in a sense, unknowingly attracted to it, and they fall into this same pattern. How do you understand love right now at your point in life? How would you describe love that you understand? What is love to you? Well, the text that Jonathan read for us just now gives the command for us to love one another. And how can we love one another, really, based on the ideas, our own ideas of love? We can't. It's impossible. But, thankfully, we have instructions in the Scriptures of what real love is. In order to follow the Lord's command, we must believe in the living and powerful Lord God of the universe. Why? Because we learn here that love comes from God, and God is love. So that's the first step in 1 John 4, 7 and 8. Let me read these again. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God. And whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. Anyone who does not love does not know God, because God is love. Profound. For example, on January 2nd, in the year of 2007, Wesley Autry was waiting for a train in Manhattan at the 137th Street and Broadway station. Anybody been there before? Yeah? Okay. And he was there with his two young daughters, and around 12:45 p.m., he noticed, along with two other women that were there with him, that this other young man, about 21 years old, named Cameron Hollopeter, I'll just call him Cameron, was having a seizure. So Autry quickly, as the man was like, fell on the ground and he was shaking and was having a seizure. And so he asked if somebody had a pen, and he put it into the man's mouth to keep his jaw open. And he just stood there, and the two ladies kind of helped him sit him up, and they were just trying to make sure he didn't hurt himself. And then Cameron got over the seizure and started to come to, and then he started to just, you know, talk to them, and he started to feel better, he said. And so he got up, and he started to walk away from them. So they thought, okay, he's passed it. But then he started to teeter, and he fell off the platform into the tracks of the subway. And he was laying there across the tracks. And Autry, who's that man you just saw in the, well, that guy right there, saw immediately as he fell that there was lights of an oncoming train coming. And so he quickly jumped into the tracks, and the lady that was there with him took his two daughters and held them back from the edge of the platform, and he jumped into the tracks, and he was thinking, I can get this man up off the platform and out before the train comes. But he realized he wasn't strong enough to get him up, couldn't lift him up, and the train was coming right at him. So then quickly what he did is he was from construction background, so he thought of the idea, I think there's enough room, so he rolled Cameron in between the tracks in a drainage ditch, and he threw his body on top of him and got his arms around him, and he tried to hold him still because he was still kind of working, trying to get out. He didn't know what was going on. And then the train conductor saw them in the tracks. He slammed on his brakes and unfortunately couldn't stop the train, and the five cars passed over them before the train actually stopped. And all that happened to Autry was that his knit cap got some grease on it. So he was stuck under the train with this man, and he kept telling the man, I know you don't know me and I don't know you, and they're like face to face. And he's like, it's okay, don't worry, just stay still, because if you push me up, I'm going to die, you know, as the train's going over. And then finally the train stops, and you know, everybody on the platform's like, oh, they're dead. And then he's like, hello, we're up there, we're okay. Can you tell my daughters? Her father's okay. We're up there. So it took about, I think, 40 minutes for them to actually get everybody off the train and then move the train, so they were pretty intimate. So he said this man was starting to freak out. Like, he's coming too, and there's somebody on top of me in this confined area. So he said, so I just struck up a conversation with him. Like, so what do you do? That kind of thing. So it was a pretty amazing story, but he was seen as a hero and internationally known back in 2007 at that time. Wesley Autry risked his life for this man he didn't know. Is that love? Would we call and define that love? What is love? Well, the world says, I will love you if you do something for me, or if you do something valuable. That's how the world says. Or, I love you because you're an excellent student. Or you're an awesome employee. I love this employee, you know. Or you're a great boss. I love my boss because he lets me do anything I want, you know. Is that real love? Or you're a good football player, a great singer. Or, he's so handsome. I love him. Or she's so beautiful. I love her. That's what the world defines as love. We're made to believe that we can earn love from others, from our talents or our look or our successes. Then people will love us because we've earned it. We're the way that the world wants or desires. But this is not love. It is not love because it does not come from God. This is not what we see in the scriptures. So let's define the world's love, the definition of the world's love, is that love is a strong affection feeling based on looks, talents, successes, or affection received. I don't know if you've ever experienced this, but I have when I was younger. If I didn't necessarily notice this girl, and then I found out through my friends that she actually liked me, then all of a sudden I convinced myself I kind of like her because she likes me. You know, it's just the way it worked. Then I found out I really didn't like her anyway, but you know, that was part of my experience. If we accept the world's definition of love, then we may find ourselves thinking, I need to get straight A's so my parents will really love me because they seem so upset when I don't. Or I put a lot of overtime in because I want my employer to really, really love me and never lay me off. Or if I wear the right kind of clothes, or I have my hair fixed nice, or I smell nice, or my breath smells okay, or I keep my body looking really good, or I make a lot of money, all these things, yada, 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 people will love me. I'll be accepted. They'll really like me. Well, the world's love is based on what is deserved or what is given in return rather than the way the Lord God loves us. But this is not love, real love, if we buy into the world's definition. For this does not come from God. In the New Testament, there are four different Greek words that are used for the word that is translated from Greek into the English New Testament, which we read on our ESV Bibles or the NIV or whatever it is, as the word love. But there's four different Greek words used. And one is eros, which you might be able to guess, right? Erotic. It's sensual, sexual, passionate love. There's storge, which is family love, like a father and mother would have for their children, or children for their father and mother, or siblings would have for each other. Then there's philia, which is friendship, companionship, like Philadelphia, right? The brotherly love, the city of brotherly love, that's where it comes from. But philia love. And then there's agape love, unconditional, unchanging, sacrificial love. Well, the word translated as love, if you go just get out your Bibles again and look at our text alone, love is mentioned a lot of times in this text. Every single time it's translated as love, it's agape love. Agape love. Agape was not actually used much in classical Greek before the New Testament books were written. But once the New Testament books were written, as John, what we see here is that most common word used for love in the New Testament is agape. Some of the others are used as well, but the most common one is agape. Interesting. It's almost like defining or using this word in a way that really describes the Christian definition of love, God's definition of love, or demonstration of love. It is a self-giving love that is not deserved. It is a self-giving love that is not deserved. Flies totally against what the world puts out there. It's a love that seeks to give. As Amy Carmichael, a missionary to India, said, one can give without loving, but one cannot love without giving. Think of that. One can give without loving, but one cannot love without giving. Agape love seeks the highest good in the one loved, even when they don't deserve it. Even when you don't deserve it, agape love is given. Jesus brought up this aspect of love in Matthew 5:44 when he said, but I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. The love that comes from God is a love that is given to people even when they don't deserve to be loved. They're scoundrels. They're horrible people. And yet, they're loved. That's agape love. There's a tendency in some modern theologies to transpose this formula, God is love, to the reverse. That love is God. Right? All you need is love. Right? If love becomes God. This is not a biblical idea. As John makes absolutely clear in this text, that the controlling principle of the universe is not love itself. Love is not all we need. God is all we need, because God is love. But it's the overall God of the universe, the sovereign Lord, is the controlling factor of the universe, not love. is God, because He then is the source of all love, and He Himself loves. And He's shown us how. Because God's very nature is love, mercy and goodness flow from God, just like a river. The water flows in a river, or the sunlight radiates from the sun. It's a natural part of who God is that love just flows from Him. And if you and I don't know God, then love will not flow from us, because God is not in us. Because God is love, and love comes from God. Love is not an abstract concept, but a concrete action, as John will now explain in verses 9 and 10. We have this description of love, that the love from God. So listen again to these verses. "And this, the love of God, was made manifest among us, that God sent His only Son into the world, so that we might live through Him. In this is love, not that we have loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation of our sins." We'll get to what that word means in a minute. True love comes from God and is communicated to us by His action of what He did through His Son, Jesus Christ. God demonstrates His self-giving love in two ways. First, He sent His Son, Jesus Christ, to become human in order to demonstrate to us in a real, touchable way how to love. And then secondly, He sent Jesus on behalf of us. He gave up His Son, Jesus, to die on the cross as the ultimate act of love. So again, God's love is different from ours, where we can say, "Oh, I love you," and don't do a single thing about it. But God says, "I love you." And those words turn into action. Just like He said, "Let there be light." And there was light. He says, "I love you." And His Son Jesus comes and dies for us to show how much. To show His love undeniably to us. This is the love that comes from God. True sacrificing love starts with God and comes to us through faith in Jesus Christ, His Son. And the love of God is not of this world, because there's nothing in this world that demonstrates this to us clearly like what Jesus did for us on the cross, when He, as God in flesh, gave Himself willingly for you and for me and for all the world and humankind, so that we can be with Him forever. Self-sacrificing, giving love is the agape love, because it comes from God. So do we do anything to deserve this love? No, not at all. Matter of fact, what we each deserve is an eternal hell away from God for eternity. We absolutely don't deserve this love, and yet He has given us His love freely through His Son, Jesus Christ. Nothing on earth compares to this. But God, in His great love for you and me and all the people, sacrificed His one and only Son for our place, in our place, to take the punishment we deserve for our sin. Now, let's get to the word of the propitiation for our sins. This is what it's actually referring to. What it just simply means is a sacrifice that satisfies the punishment for our sins. So it's almost like Jesus is taking our place. We deserve the death penalty. And so He comes in and says, "No, you're free to go. I'll take the death penalty for you." And He actually forgives us and reconciles us through faith in Christ to God. So then we can have a loving relationship with the Lord God from then on if we accept Christ as Lord. So when we accept this love that comes from God, then we admit our need for forgiveness, or we actually do admit our need for forgiveness that comes through Jesus Christ, and we acknowledge Him as Lord and God of the universe and follow Him. It is God's amazing love that actually leads us to Him in the first place. So like in a small, very small perverted way, that before I mentioned that this girl liked me, and then I thought, "Oh, whoa, I think I like her too." But in a much more infinite way, God loved us first. And the more we can understand how He demonstrated that love, the more than you and I are drawn to the Lord God and His love. That real love, not the perverted love where some guy likes you and kind of tries to convince you of his love by showering gifts on you and whatever, and whisper sweet nothings to you, right? but he doesn't really love you. Because you'll find out later if he really does by what he does, not just the gifts he receives, you get. It will come clear in time. Or our parents, right? Or our, whoever it may be, our friends, or we can see real love based on what is done consistently. But remember, you can give without loving. So it's hard to tell just by what's given. But you cannot love without giving. It's an important truth. But we really love because he first loved us, because God comes first, and love comes from God. Have you, any of you heard of Bear Grylls? Bear Grylls, he's a British adventurer, writer, television presenter. Maybe you'll recognize him here, this guy. Does he recognize him, nobody? Well, he was most famous by his TV series called Man vs. Wild, where he'd, like, I don't know, go out in the middle of nowhere and try to survive, and he'd eat all kinds of weird stuff. And I remember one time I saw him, he was in the tundra of, like, near the North Pole or something, and he was really hungry. He'd run out of food, and he found this sheep that was stuck in, like, quicksand or something, and it was half eaten by wolves, but the other half underneath hadn't been preserved, so he dug that out and he ate it. It was really disgusting, but, you know, it was interesting to watch. Well, Bear Grylls told Relevant magazine, it's a Christian publication, and Bear Grylls, by the way, is a strong follower of Jesus Christ. So this is what he wrote, I quote, "Sometimes it's hard for us to believe, really believe, that God cares and wants good things for us and doesn't just want us to go off and give up everything and become missionaries in Burundi. And some people are just scared and they go, oh, God just wants me to be religious. But actually, he just loves us. He just wants us to be with him. And that's been a journey to discover that for himself. That's one of the big questions I asked was, you know, if you do exist, are you cozy? Are you what my heart really aches for? Christianity is not about religion. It's about faith, about being held, about being forgiven. It's about finding joy and finding home. I've yet to meet anyone who doesn't want to be forgiven or held or find peace or joy in their life. We tried loads of other stuff. We tried to think booze or foxy woman or whatever it will fill it, but it doesn't fill the hole. Everyone alive, you and me, ache to be loved, don't we? And we ache to love. We want to give love and receive love. But often we just don't know how because of our experience. But yet we have an Almighty God who is love. And he says love comes from him. And when we accept him and his love, then his love resides in us and gives us the standard and enables us to love, really love, in return and give it out in his name and for his glory. We are not complete without love, without accepting his love, his true love, because that's the way God designed us. We are to be vessels of love, brothers and sisters, the love of God. The Lord doesn't require us to do anything to receive love, thankfully. He simply wants us to respond to his in love for him, because we love because he first loved us. Do we really know that? Do we understand that? Is that what we responded to Christ about, because we understood that he really, really, really loves us? Or is it just knowledge and or something that is on a piece of paper, or we have just responded in that way? This is why Jesus said, in the sense that we will not be completely satisfied or fulfilled in life unless we accept the love of God and make it a part of us. Remember, Jesus mentioned the two great commandments. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the great and first commandment. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments depend all the law and the prophets. The two greatest commandments given to us is to love God with all of our whole being and to love others like we love ourselves. And we definitely love ourselves. But we love others like that. Our Lord God never asks us to do anything that he hasn't given and provided us with already. because He is love. He's saying, you love. Love me, love others, but He already loved us because He loved us first. We love God because He loved us first. We love others because God loves us. We love our enemies because at one point, when we were still enemies of God, He loved us. So now we can love our enemies. God doesn't command us to do anything that He hasn't already provided us a way to do it. That's the greatness of our God. You know, we love people who betray us and slander us and hurt us and do horrible things to us. Why? We can do that in the love of God because when we betrayed God, when we were rejecting Him, He loved us. So He doesn't ask us to do anything He hasn't already provided us with. And nothing and nobody can take away the love of God that He has for us. Listen to Romans 8:38. It says, "For I am sure that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord." God is love. Nothing can separate us from the love of God. Not even death can separate us from the love of God. The bottom line is that the love that comes from God is demonstrated through the person of Jesus Christ, His death on the cross and His resurrection from the dead, rather than a person's feelings. I mean, God so loved the world because He felt so? He felt like He loved the world? Well, yes, He loved the world, but God's love required an action in the nature of His Son coming to the earth and dying on our behalf. It's probably a flash flood warning. I get those all the time. At least yesterday, I did. I don't think we're in a flood zone here, so we're good. Hopefully your houses are not. Yes, God loves us, but He loves us with action. And that's the way He desires us, to love one another in a way that the world knows that we are His disciples, right? That's what he commanded us to do in John 13:35. Jesus taught that our love for Him is demonstrated by our actions, and especially when He said, "If you love me, you will keep my commandments," John 14:15. God's love is seen, not felt. God's love is seen, not felt. Love is not feeling. It's a verb. It's action. So love is seen. And then how is the world going to see the love of God, brothers and sisters? The only way they can see it and see God, because He is love, is through us. Loving in His name. Loving with His love. It's the only way. And John 13:35 says, "By this all people will know you are my disciples if you have love for one another." We love one another with actions. And people then see a glimpse of the Lord God Himself through us in action and love. You know, love changes people. Just like it changed me when I was in middle school or high school when that girl loved, well, quote, liked me. Whatever affection we receive, it changes us, it adjusts us, it molds us. We almost want it, we're attracted to it. We can't get away from that. Even perverted love can change us for the worse. But the love of God so much more will change us dramatically when we come to know and understand God's love. Unconditional love, when understood and accepted, definitely changes people. But I want us to watch this unusual story that I got from CBS Evening News about this man who is actually changed by the love of a goose. Okay, let's watch it.
You may remember the subjects of our final story tonight. Steve Hartman first introduced them to us a few years ago. Kind of an odd couple, but the closest of friends. Steve caught up with them again on the road.
At most zoos, it's the visitors who are excited to see the animals. But here at the LA Zoo, they've got an animal.
Here he comes, Steve.
Who loves this visitor.
Mario.
He knows I'm his friend.
I'm late, Mario.
When you realize that an animal has this unconditional love for you, what do?
Be right with you.
It's a conundrum retired salesman Dominic Erler first faced 4 years ago.
Let's go, Mario.
Back then, Mario lived in a public park, just one of many geese who lived here. But whereas the others pretty much stuck with their own species, Mario had a different allegiance.
So how was your night?
They walk around the park together like they're in love. It's wonderful.
People would look at us like, what is this?
What, they've never seen a guy walking with
a
goose before?
That's pretty much a fact.
It wasn't that he fed the goose. He didn't even coax it. For whatever reason, Mario just liked him, started following him, and eventually even became protective of him.
Be nice. Don't bite the dog.
And if you think that's devotion.
Okay, come on.
Look what used to happen when Dominic tried to leave. He'd take off on that scooter and Mario would be right there, right by his side. Obviously, this was a problem. On most days, Dominic had no choice but to turn around, go back into the park, and wait for Mario to fall asleep.
Has it changed you in any way? Are you a different person in any way?
I quit eating poultry.
You did?
Yes, I had no way. I used to think birds were dumb. This has changed all that.
You look wonderful.
After our story first aired,
beautiful.
Mario got so famous, city officials took him out of the park and put him in the zoo for his own protection. Of course, that meant he couldn't get back to see his friend, which is why his friend now comes here.
Mario.
Virtually every morning for the past 3 years, Dominic has stopped by to visit. Mario couldn't be happier. But what's in all this for Dominic? Why would a guy devote so much of his retirement to a goose? Well, you know how I told you he used to be a salesman? Wait till you hear what he used to sell.
I used to sell rotisseries that...
You sold rotisseries?
Yeah. If that's my atonement or whatever it is.
Atonement for selling those rotisseries?
That's what I'm thinking.
Steve Hartman, on the road.
I'll see you tomorrow.
In Los Angeles.
I'll see you tomorrow. Bye-bye.
Is that okay? So cute.
That's the CBS that's Evening News for tonight. For all of us at CBS News all around the world.
There we go. If a goose's love can change a man where he stops eating poultry and he just, you know, he stops selling or he feels he's trying to understand why is this happening to me? There's some bigger purpose. He's grasping for reasons why. But obviously it changed the guy's life. I mean, he could have just rode off, so this stupid goose is just following me around. I don't want anything to do with him. Changed him. But how much more infinite would it be to know that our almighty creator is so much more in love with us than a goose? That should completely change us. And not only was he so in love with us, he demonstrated it by sending his only son to die on your behalf and my behalf. Powerful demonstration of love. It changes us. And it hasn't changed you yet, then you haven't really accepted the love of God, or you just simply don't understand or know the love of God yet completely, to be able to really understand deeply in your heart and respond to that love. Do you know God? Does God's love abide in you right now? Do you sense that fulfilling, that satisfaction, that contentment in life, knowing that the Almighty Creator of this universe and this reality is in love with you? Undeservedly. It's not anything you did. It's not because the great person you are. No, it's just because you're his creation and he loves you. Period. God's love is the only thing that will fill the emptiness in our lives. The only thing that will really complete us. It's not going to be our husband to be or our wife to be. No, they're going to be a disappointment, ultimately. If they are the one that will complete me, you know. No, they will not. We're not designed that way. We're going to be very disappointed if we think that. Only the Lord God's love will come and complete us. Do you know that? Well, I hope we do a little more today. Let's pray together. Lord God, we thank you for your truth, the amazing fact that you are love. And love comes from you. And you came first before anything else in this reality. Lord, pierce our hearts and our minds with this truth so that your Spirit can open us to know and accept more and more deeply your love for us and for the world. So then we would then be your witnesses and your light and your love, literally, to this world and to each other, to bring you glory, and then to experience the satisfaction that only comes when we are walking in your Spirit. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.